Welcome back to the Cruise Corner podcast. This is your host, Lonnie, and this is episode 2, Barriers to Reaching Out. Something that was pretty clear early on when I joined the military was that if you have a problem, it's typically best if you keep it to yourself. Nobody really wanted to ever get called out for anything. And I know I didn't want to be labeled a sick call ranger or be seen as just a stereotypical female. I caught on quick that we were more often than not expected to complain, fail, show weakness, etc. So I really tried hard to not display any of those signs or fulfill any of those negative views that people carried. So what ended up happening was, you know, you start burying all that stuff, all your issues pretty deep down, and you kind of just keep trucking along. And really what you're doing is you're attempting to avoid having very human, normal reactions to stuff. You're bottling up your emotions, hiding away pain, trying to keep yourself from feeling bad, or at least from showing that you feel bad. And essentially, you're just beating yourself up over having, again, normal human reactions to things like stress and anxiety. You're just being overworked. And you don't always have the time to administer proper self-care, at least in the military. Or in some cases, you just don't really learn what healthy self-care looks like or what it requires, especially for those that probably join the military really young and they're out and away from home for the first time in their lives. And they're just trying to figure a lot of stuff out at one time. And then on top of that, dealing with all the stuff that the military kind of serves up to you. And in the Army, I wasn't exposed to or really led to the right coping mechanisms. Even now, I live on an Army post currently, and I see the posters I get put up. I see the signage. I see all the social media posts that the post commander and everybody keeps and all sorts of stuff telling soldiers and their families that when it comes to mental health and getting help, it's okay to reach out. You got to do it. And I'd like to believe that things have changed since I was in, but since I'm here, I know they haven't. And because really, I saw these same signs in posts when I was a soldier. I heard people say it was okay to reach out and to get help, but I learned after doing just that, that it isn't always accepted. Not as much as you'd think anyways, for all the stuff that you see and all the posters and all the just crap that gets kind of posted around. And from the inability to talk about stuff like mental health or to just kind of be honest about how you feel when you're in the uniform, because you feel like maybe your career's in jeopardy or your position's going to be questioned, along with your commitment to the team or to the mission. Because of that inability to talk, we lose a lot of opportunity to show each other or to show fellow service members, veterans, whoever, what healthy communication is or healthy coping, or I guess healthy healing. What's normal, what the normal reaction to stress and fear and the lack of sleep or being overwhelmed looks like. And by not truly being able to find a way to talk, we don't really find our ways around stigmas, a lot of the same stigmas that we're trying to end. And we don't really stop the sharing of bad information, or we continue to feed into that mentality that feeling down or feeling bad means that you're a failure or just in the wrong. And that's certainly something that I saw quite a bit as a veteran. People tearing down those that had mental health issues, people making fun of anyone that was struggling, people calling each other out for feeling down or suicidal. And then someone goes and they kill themselves. And everybody goes back to saying, hey, our mental health isn't taken seriously, or nobody cares about veterans and service members, when in reality, there's too many of us showing that we don't really care about each other while we're still alive. And along with the lack of communication, we, or at least I saw that you don't really ever get comfortable talking about how you feel. Even for me, I've been podcasting for a couple of years now, blogging. I've written a book about feeling like shit, basically. And I still am not always the most comfortable with having conversations, especially those that have to do with suicide or some pretty heavy topics. It just doesn't really get easier sometimes. And I kind of feel like when it comes to people being uncomfortable talking about how they feel or whatever, I've noticed a lot of people, at least like in my friends, people I served with, that they try to ignore the problems they're having, but they also start to kind of turn a blind eye towards the downfall or destruction of the people around them. And I think from there, that's where people begin to really miss or ignore the signs. Because when things like depression and suicidal ideation go unnoticed, we sometimes chalk it up to kind of being a phase, or it's a weak moment for that person. Or we even go as far as casting aside those people for whatever reason, or just saying they're trying to seek attention or whatever. And I think sometimes it's to keep from being associated with the weak link, because they remind us too much of our own pain, or that we're struggling, and it's the same pain and struggles that we're trying to ignore in ourselves. And I've known a lot of people that have suffered from depression and anxiety and thoughts of suicide. And sometimes they're the people that are always upbeat and they're full of jokes. It's those strong friends. And from that, I've learned that pain can hide behind a smile and laughter and jokes about as easy as it can be shown through our tears. And I've noticed that some people with a dark sense of humor like to use it sort of as an escape or to hide how they truly feel. And I'm certainly one of those people that's used humor to hide how much I'm actually hurting. And I used to always tell my friends that if it wasn't for finding a way to laugh, I would probably be crying all the time. And as a soldier, crying's off the table. That's not something you do. And so you have to find a way around it. And the way mental illness and pain or struggle, the way they're shown varies. Everybody's different. They come in many forms. And sometimes it can be as easy as looking for somebody acting different, or that happy friend you have is suddenly really down and out, or the person that always wants to be the center of attention kind of just disappears to the sidelines. And other times it's not that easy to decipher. And I know I had buddies that hid their pain remarkably well, so well that I had no idea that they were suffering. And that is why I was always really shocked to find out when they had to be admitted somewhere or that they had killed themselves. And I think it isn't always that the signs go unnoticed, but that, I don't know, sometimes people just don't know what to say, or they're uncomfortable with the subject, which is completely understandable. It goes back to kind of talk about how suicide and some of those heavy topics are not the easiest things to talk about. And I'm going back to what I was saying about the military. We don't always learn how to have healthy conversations or to get directed towards reliable resources or support. And it's less about these things existing and more about stigma or fear or the worry about like what our chain of command is going to do. And suicide is certainly not a subject most people really want to tap into. It's not something, I guess, a conversation a lot of people want to be the one to initiate. It's very difficult to talk about. I used to always worry that the wrong thing would be said, or that I guess I wouldn't know the correct course of action if I was ever approached by somebody and they said, hey, I'm thinking about killing myself. And then I lost enough friends to suicide to where I started realizing there's actually a lot of resources out there that tells you what you can say and will help you through those moments where you just kind of feels awkward. And I know I've always worried about the friends I've lost, like if I said something that maybe triggered it, or if I didn't say enough. And I've always wondered if there was something I could have done to change the outcome. And so every time I lost a friend for a while, it felt like, oh man, I really hope nobody else comes to me to talk about suicide, because clearly I don't have the right advice. I don't know how to save you. I've obviously failed numerous times, and that guilt gets in the way. I have a lot of guilt for the friends I've lost, and it's followed me for years, because I had two buddies that committed suicide within years of each other, and both had contacted me within a day or two of taking their life, and to me, they sounded fine, maybe slightly down, but I did my best to talk to them. I did the whole, like, hey, are you all right? The typical stuff. And do you need anything? And I was told that they were fine. And the conversations ended just as they had in the past. And I thought little of it. But knowing what I know now, I wish I had made more of an effort to be present instead of just do the typical, like, hey, you good or whatever, but not really have any substance to it. I wish I had just been able to find a way to have been there, which is tough when you live really far. I always lived a couple states away from everybody because I was still in the service and they had gone back to their home of records. And I almost feel like if I had been able to see them face to face, or been able to invite them over or offer to come visit, it would have done more, because to me, speaking on the phone or through a text really lacks connection. And it's hard to feel like someone is there when you can't physically see or touch them. That's where I feel like technology kind of fails us. It never really replaces someone being there. It's never going to bring the same kind of comfort as something like a hug will do. And I know in the past, when I've been at a major low, I didn't want to talk on the phone. I didn't even want to initiate a conversation. But even though I didn't want to initiate a conversation, what I was really wanting was someone to just kind of sit by me and be like, hey, you're going to get through this. I got your back. You're not alone. It's okay to feel like shit. You're allowed to feel this way. Like, it's okay that you feel bad. And just sit with me through it, just so I wouldn't feel alone. Because I feel like most of my self-destruction in life has come from feeling like I was completely on my own, whether I had people or not. I just, when you deal with things like mental illness, it's easy to get it inside your head that nobody's there and that you are going to have to suffer by yourself. But again, I was a soldier back when I was really struggling, and you can't tell people that. You can't tell them you're struggling. You can't tell people that you feel the way that you do necessarily and that you feel like shit. So instead, I did the army thing, and I drank, and I took the meds I was prescribed. I numbed the pain. I shoved it all down further and further and further over time, and really, I just wanted to be a good soldier. I needed people to think I was fine. And so I had to hide that pain, because if people knew I was hurting, in my mind, that meant that I was a bad soldier. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just bury it and push forward. And so after all that, I guess what I'm getting at is it's important to make a point to reach out and be present if you can. We're all going through something. Don't stretch yourself too thin, though. Don't neglect your own needs, your own healing. Don't forget or ever be afraid of setting boundaries. I certainly had to do that so that I wouldn't just completely tap myself out or drain my energy reserves. And when I left the military, there were a lot of veteran services out there, a lot of places to go to deal with all this tough shit. And there's just tons of resources at our disposal. But when I got out and I enrolled in the VA, I'll admit that I was overwhelmed by the amount of information I received. And so I ended up brushing a lot of it off. And it was mostly because when I first left active duty, I still had that mentality that I needed to keep it all to myself and I couldn't say anything. And on the other side of it, I had a really hard time opening up to doctors because they just didn't seem to understand or didn't seem to care. And I got the impression from too many of the physicians I had been assigned to and a number of the therapists that they were never really listening to what I had to say or what I wanted to talk about. And from the moment I walked in the door, it seemed like they were just kind of sitting there already trying to decide what medication I was going to get prescribed next. They just never listened to what the underlying issue actually was for me. And so I burned out pretty quick on feeling like I was a disease. I was being treated for being a disease rather than just really being presented an outlet for my anxiety and frustrations. That's really all I wanted, was to learn how to deal with stuff in a healthy manner. And I didn't really get hit with depression until after I had left the service, because it wasn't until that transition point from soldier to civilian that I felt like I was really alone and really noticed how much I had fallen, how much I was struggling. And that was when I self-isolated the most, because I didn't want anyone seeing how hard of a time I was having. So my decision was to just hide. And as a female, I found it very difficult to acknowledge any issues I was having or to admit that I was anxious or depressed, because I felt like many of my symptoms were brushed off or like they just weren't taken seriously. I went into every appointment or every therapy session kind of feeling like I was being judged before I even had the chance to speak. And my favorite was when I'd be set up to meet with like a male doctor or something who would like to crack jokes about women just being useless pretty much, or how since I worked as a supply clerk and a dispatcher for the Army, there was no way I could have seen anything. All my problems had to be from, quoting one doctor, childhood trauma or my inability to adapt to military life. And that was all I had to work with. And that is all that some people have to work with sometimes. And that's what you're supposed to use to get over that worry of making yourself sound weak or look weak. And once I realized that a lot of these doctors and the therapy just wasn't going to be a good fit for me, I began to look elsewhere, not necessarily for behavioral health, but just for the ways to ease that anxiety and the depression symptoms and kind of continue helping with my transition to civilian life again. And I left active duty back in early 2015, and then I joined the reserves and I was there till the very end of 2017. And I still struggle sometimes with the transition. I still don't really feel like I fit in the civilian side of things. And I do find myself wanting to go back some days. And I still have those moments where I kind of wish I could be redeployed to a combat zone with the exact same friends I was there with last time. And that mostly comes from the idea that life kind of felt simpler back then when you were just trying to not die, I guess. There was just something different about deployment that was a lot more comforting than really the life I found once I came back from like Afghanistan and stuff. And over there, life was just kind of schedules and tasks, and you're trained for pretty much every damn situation or every scenario that can go down. And it was a place where I had people on all sides, and it's a place where you're surrounded by people that are ready to die beside you or die protecting you. And I know that's something I never found in the civilian side of things, and it was probably the hardest pill to swallow getting out. So yes, there are resources out there, and there are people that veterans can talk to. Unfortunately, like what I was saying with going to the doctor, stuff like that, it's not a one size fits all situation. What works for somebody might not work for somebody else. And I know some people say the VA saved them, while others say that they feel like it's done very little, if anything, to improve their quality of life. So I guess the key really is finding what works best for you. Not giving up one of those services doesn't work. I can't really even count how many times I've gone to a VA hospital, to a clinic, a private healthcare professional. I've seen all kinds of different people in all kinds of different places for assistance, and I'm still looking for that fit. At this point, I look for things that either bring me joy, kind of ease my mind, or just help me manage my symptoms. I make sure to stay in contact with my friends and my family as best I can, even when I don't really feel like being social, which is pretty often. I do enjoy my alone time, but I've learned that it can be very addicting. It's easy for me to get used to, and I'll think about it and realize that it's been weeks or months before or after, I guess, speaking to the last person or whatever. And so I've had to kind of, I wouldn't say force myself to interact, but I've learned that sometimes talking or seeing someone is exactly what I need, even if I think that being alone would be better. Sometimes it just takes kind of stepping out of that comfort zone to really allow yourself the best chance at finding help or getting better or just improving your overall situation. So with all that being said, please remember how easy it is for people to shrug off help or say things are well when they aren't. It's just as easy to accept someone saying that they're fine without taking that extra moment to make sure, especially for those of us that did serve in the military. We've been taught to push through when things are tough and to keep the pain to ourselves. And so we're not really quick with opening ourselves up or letting our guard down. But I think we should know better than anyone how often we dismiss our personal troubles. And if you haven't already, make sure you check on your battles. Let them know you got their back. I know a lot of people wait for the 22nd day of the month because that's when people like to do like the buddy check thing for the 22 a day. But we really should be doing it more than just once a month because people are dying every single day. And if you're having a tough time, do not hesitate to reach out to somebody. Don't bottle shit up. You're definitely not alone in all of this. We've all hit rough patches. We've all struggled. We've all lost somebody that we wish we could have had back. And so trust me when I say there is somebody out there that is going to listen, that's going to understand, and going to help you through whatever you're dealing with in any way that they can, or at the least point you in the right direction. Because we're all tired of losing people, and many of us are, we don't want to lose ourselves either. So it's important to use the resources and to talk to each other and to not let the number of resources out there overwhelm you. Figure out what works for you. Just as we handle trauma and we struggle differently, we heal in our own way. So don't give up if something that your buddy said worked for them didn't work for you. Like, we're all different. And just remember, you are not as alone as you feel. Keep being there for your fellow service members and veterans. Our service and loyalty to each other does not end when we take off the uniform. If anything, I believe that is the time when we probably need each other the most. Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more episodes from Crew's Corner, make sure to subscribe. You can listen to episodes on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. If you would like to be featured on a future episode, please reach out to our Instagram page at crews_corner.